Welcome to Weekly with WIC. Love Local is a weekly podcast to help our community stay informed and either off the watch list or to move us down in this new tiered system. We want to do this for our kids so that they can be in school and our businesses to remain open.
Hi, welcome back to Weekly with WIC. And as you know by now, my name is Lindsay Miller-Byrne. I'm a PA and a resident here in Tehama County. And I've had the opportunity and pleasure of working with Dr. Wickenheiser for the last decade and a half. And we both share a love of science and medicine, and we have a deep-seated love for this community. And Dr. Wickenheiser, or as many refer to him lovingly as Dr. Wick, not only supports these podcasts, but also the values of the Love Local movement. And he believes firmly that an engaged community is a vibrant community. And so because of that, together we aim to provide timely, relevant, and transparent communication. So Love Local aims to answer the big question, which is how can and what do parents, community members, and students need to make the mental shift to keep operating safely in a consistent manner during this COVID-19 pandemic? We really want to keep our kids back in school, our schools open. We want our businesses that we love so much to stay open. We want our community members to be able to go back to work in a safe manner. And all of that, and not only reduce our COVID-19 numbers. So with that, this week we've invited a local education leader, Todd Brozy, to speak specifically how our Rebluff High School students are doing. And Todd Brozy is the superintendent of Rebluff High School, and he is going to join us so he can add sort of updates of how our kids are doing in school, and also to discuss the implemented safety measures, and also the importance of operating in a consistent manner. So please welcome Todd Brozy and Dr. Wick.
Thank you, Lindsay. This is Todd Brozy, the superintendent of Rebluff Joint Union High School District. I want to thank Lindsay, and I want to thank Dr. Wick for having me on the show today and kind of fill you in on what's happening around Rebluff High School, a little bit about education and the importance of what we're wearing here and the things that we're doing to make sure that our students are safe. So I really do appreciate that. We're 6 weeks into school, and we've been working with our students who are present every day to make sure that we have our protocols in place to keep our students safe at school. We worked on those protocols with Dr. Wickenheiser here throughout the whole summer. I think we had a lot of conversations, didn't we, Doctor?
A lot.
Yeah. Yeah, and we do appreciate your availability. I think we went from, not having school, not the chance of having school, to we're going to do it every day. We're going to do a hybrid. We're going to do different alternating schedules. But for the high school, we really leaned on the public health officer to really guide us into what our protocols need to be for school. So it's been successful at Rebluff High School for in person. We are 6 weeks into it. We also do a distance learning component. We have 400 students who are on distance learning, and we have 1,200 students who are at the main campus at Rebluff High School. And we have another 60 over at Salisbury High School. And actually, Salisbury's been in school for over 8 weeks now. And they haven't had a case, and they're going strong. So we've done a lot with our, it was a lot of planning this summer for our in-person instruction. And we've had a very successful start. Some of the things that we're doing, and I wanted to kind of talk with Doctor about a little bit, because we are getting guidance continually from CDC and the state. But the components of our plan really are that every student, every staff member, anybody on campus is wearing masks. At the high school, we have a difficult time social distancing just because of the number of students that we have, and the passing bells, and the times that they could be within 6 feet. So it's mandatory everyone wears a mask, and we've been doing a really good job at that, and we think that's important. We also disinfect after every classroom, after every class setting. Our teachers are doing that. We disinfect the bathrooms 3 to 4 times a day. We have hand washing stations throughout all the campus, and every room has hand sanitizer as well. And so all that, it goes into our plan that we worked with Dr. Wickenheiser on, and we try to implement that with fidelity. It's like any program in school, whether it's a reading program, a math program, it only works as well as the integrity of the program is implemented. And so we are constantly making sure that our students, our staff are masking up, that we're screening every morning, and that we're sticking to those protocols. But I kind of wanted to get the doctor's opinion on, I know we did get some new information, guidance from CDC, and they talk about some indicators. So maybe you can share a little bit about that with us.
Sure. The last week, the CDC came up with new information. The new information is based on the prevalence of disease in the community, whether it's safe or not to open schools. What's the risk? And it's closely aligned with the tier system that the state of California is using. For us in our community, I think it has tremendous effect because we've been doing some GIS mapping and we see where the hot spots are in our county. And what we're looking at is, are those hot spots that we see in the county, are those reflected in the school districts where people are attending school? We're able to look at the hotspots based on high school district, regular school district, zip code, things like that. And the importance of that is if we can show that the schools are being effective in what they're doing, then it really doesn't matter what's happening in the surrounding community. As long as the schools are sticking to their plan, as you've already mentioned, Todd, they're being diligent about doing it, and we see no transmission in the schools, then we can liberalize how we deal with the situation. Presently, the recommendation is if we have a student who's positive in a classroom, the most conservative method is to basically quarantine everybody in that classroom. That's the teachers and all the students. And that has tremendous implication depending on the number of students who are attending, the periods that they're in, things like that. If we can demonstrate, and we think we can, that the schools are continue to do an effective job, then what we want to do is make those criteria more liberal. And those liberal criteria would be just how we approach any other business. So instead of having to exclude the whole classroom, we look and we see, you guys are doing a great job. So let's only exclude those people that are within the 6-foot distance that may not have been wearing masks rather than the whole school. It's better for the school. It's better for the community. Because one of our concerns is when we have those students out there in the community for those 2 weeks in quarantine, are they really quarantined or are they going out and socializing and then they bring something back to school? So it's because of these recommendations from CDC and then most recently interpretations by San Francisco and Los Angeles that we're going to be making these suggestions. We have currently a situation where high schools had to close part of its campus down. So we're testing everybody there. And if we can prove exactly what I said, we can certainly liberalize our guidelines. And that would be consistent with what's going to be happening throughout the state of California. I can tell you at this point in time, we have school outbreaks in 4 or 5 schools in Redding. And they're all going to be looking at the same sort of thing. If the schools are diligent, again, in terms of what they're doing, then they will be changing guidelines the way that we're doing it. I have to congratulate the schools. All of the schools not only have submitted a plan, but they're adhering to the plan. And I think the most important thing that we can look at is the communication between the school and public health. In the situation of Red Bluff High, the communication can occur on a daily basis, even off hours. If there's a question, they ask us, we help them get through it. We've put out guidelines that have been hopefully very clear. We actually have some newer ones that we're gonna put out that are even more clear so that there's less confusion to the staff, because not everybody is a medical person. Not everybody can understand this. So if we put it out so it's easy for people to understand, the lay people can do it, everybody's life's easier. And our goal from the very beginning was every person, every day.
Every student, every day.
Right? Yeah, if Todd remembers, I was the one who pushed for every student, every day. Yeah. Yep. And they've proven that it works.
And I agree. And I think just to go back to your point about showing that it's not happening in school or transmitted in school. You know, we had a case a couple of weeks ago where it wasn't transmitted in schools at home. And we were able to look at the previous 2 days of that student. And we did quarantine, you know, 6 classrooms, but it affected less than 150 students and 7 staff members. And so, you know, but the whole school didn't have to shut down. And I think it goes back to, you'd say due diligence, but it's also, you know, fidelity, making sure that we are following those protocols and that we're going to be fine. So yes, every student, every day, that was the mantra throughout the whole summer. And that also just on a educational standpoint, it also means our distance learning, because we're talking a lot, obviously, about in person, but you know, at the high school, we have 400 distance learning students. And so that's been a challenge for not only for us, but for the schools who had to start in distance learning. And the efforts that our educators made, our teachers, it's really been tremendous. And it is not easy work to do, trust me. And so we just want to recognize that it's not only the in-person students and staff that we're taking care of, it's also those distance learners who feel that they're more safe at home and staying at home to do their learning. So I just want to recognize that as well. Every student every day means all students, whether you're distance learning or on campus. But I do want to also talk a little bit about how the integrity of the protocols on campus, but really it also goes into off campus. As doctor said, you know, when we do quarantine kids, if we have to quarantine kids, we need to make sure that they're staying at home doing their work. But it also goes to the weekends and the days, the holidays, that our community is really doing their best to follow those protocols, because though it may not be transmitting at school, it certainly is in our community.
And I think maybe, Todd, you can address the comments that we're getting from the other school districts that started distance learning and their eagerness to now do in-person learning based on your experience.
Well, you know, we meet quite often in our county with our other superintendents, and you know, to be honest, you know, every district is different. They're unique because it's locally controlled. But when we have been getting a lot of questions about, you know, how did you do this? You know, how did it look transportation wise? How did it look with your scheduling and making sure those small cohorts, working with those cohorts and identifying cohorts and minimizing the movement of campus? So we've had a lot of discussion, and we actually, we received calls from Glenn County as well of schools who are trying now, who are on the list and couldn't start, and now they wanna start. And so we're actually sharing ideas, because we're also interested in how they're doing distance learning effectively. So the unique thing about education is it's a vast network, and there's a lot of support for each other's. But for sure, those schools, we talk regularly in our county about how we can reopen, what are their successes, what are the areas that we can definitely do better on, and hopefully, and what I'm hearing from around the county is you're going to see the elementary schools start to reopen here pretty soon, the next couple weeks, even if it's smaller cohorts, but they're heading in the right direction, and it's important to have students on campus, and probably the biggest one is social emotionally. You know, we already deal with a lot of social emotional issues within our children, and also frankly within our adults. And so, you know, throwing COVID on top of this and the stress it has put on our students has been it's been overwhelming. And so having students back in campus and providing them with the social emotional exercises that can help them is critical, critical to the learning process, but critical to our society as well. And so again, that goes back to just following the protocols, following the guidance, and getting our students on campus so they can have the relationship experiences with the adults, with their teachers, with their peers, and help with their social emotional well-being.
Todd, I'd like to thank you for your comments today and your visiting with us, because I think that truly reflects what's happening in our community. Everybody's happy at this point in time to see the kids back in school, whereas in some instances we had 60% of the people wanted to do off-campus learning. Those parents are now clamoring to get their mm-hmm. kids back in school. So we appreciate everything that Red Bluff High has done. I think you're one of the leaders in the group, and I'm sure the surrounding communities also appreciate your experience.
Well, and it's, I would say it's a partnership, and we appreciate public health and their partnership with schools, and hopefully we can keep going in the right direction.
Thank you for joining us for this week's episode of Love Local, believing that an engaged community is a vibrant community. This episode was brought to you in part by Expect More Tehama, Tehama County Public Health, and our friends at the Community Foundation of the North State. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and visit our website at expectmoretehama.com. Do you have a specific question related to this podcast? Send us an email to kate@expectmoretehama.com.